Live from our nation's capital, it's the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Good afternoon, America. Welcome to the Inside Scoop from Washington. I'm your host, Mark Levine, reporting live from the Center for American Progress in Washington, D.C. Do you know how to cook a frog? I'm no gourmet. I admit that. I am certainly no gourmet. But I'm told that if you want to cook a frog, you can't. First of all, you gotta start with it live. Apparently, you can't, like, kill a frog and then cook it. Doesn't taste good. I guess that's what the gourmets say. But if you want to cook a frog, I'm told that you need to start with a live frog and put it in a pot. But don't, I'm told, do not take a pot of boiling water and throw a frog in. The frog will jump right out. Heck, if you even put a frog in boiling water and put the top on, you're going to have to hold it down because the frog can use his energy. Frogs can jump pretty far and knock the top off and escape, and you'll have a frog running around your kitchen. That's not the way to cook a frog, I'm told. No, if you want to cook a frog, what you do is you put a frog in a pot of cold water, very cold water. Let it sit in the pot for a while, be all happy, it's live. And the frog sits in the pot of cool water, and then you slowly heat it up. And the frog realizes that the water is getting warmer, but it's getting warmer steadily, piece by piece by piece, bit by bit. And suddenly it's getting a little hot. And suddenly it's getting a little hotter. And by the time the frog realizes what's going on, it's too late to jump out. He's cooked. We are living in that time period now. Only we're not all frogs. Democrats have realized, well, since before Donald Trump was elected, that he was dangerous, that he was not normal, that he was mentally unstable, that he was a narcissistic maniac, that he didn't give a damn about his fellow man, that he simply wanted to do whatever he could to make himself and his family better off, that he had no particular patriotism or compunction about giving away American secrets or selling them to the Russians or whatever. We got that. But the Republican Party didn't realize it. The Republicans of America are largely like those frogs sitting at the bottom of the pot. And it heated up slowly. And the rest of us kept wondering when Republicans were going to jump out of the pot. So when Donald Trump said that Barack Obama was not born in the United States, most Republicans dismissed that as ridiculous idiocy. They understood that was a lie used to take people who were not quite of sound mind or easily confused or easily manipulated by conspiracy theories and get them to believe this lie. And they didn't denounce it really loudly because, well, smart people all knew that only an idiot would believe Barack Obama wasn't born in the United States, and Republicans knew that they needed some of those idiots to vote for them. So they didn't speak out. And then when Donald Trump said, oh, that Ted Cruz's father had been somehow involved in the Kennedy assassination, well, they knew that was ridiculous. Smart people knew that was ridiculous, and if it confused a few dumb people, well, they're just too dumb to figure it out. And then Donald Trump admitted that he regularly sexually assaulted women. He did that on the Accessed Hollywood tape, of course, to Billy Bush. That he regularly assaulted women, that he enjoyed it, and in fact, if you're rich and famous, sorry to get crass here, but this is what Donald Trump said. You can grab them by the... I still can't get myself to say it. But you know what I'm talking about. And then, well, a lot of Republicans said, this is it. This is the end of Donald Trump. but it wasn't the end. Or when he said that John McCain was not a war hero because he was a POW. I mean, the list goes on and on and on and on. There was a time a year ago when Donald Trump at 3:30 in the morning, talking about Alicia Machado, the former Miss Universe, and calling this beauty pageant winner fat, was considered extreme, crazy, wild. Why is the President of the United States, to this day, going into a Twitter fight with a former Miss Universe? Or the father of an American hero who held out the Constitution to challenge. I mean, why is Donald Trump fighting with these people? That kind of seems tame now, doesn't it? Heck, the frog was just getting warm. And it seems that as we accept, as we normalize, to use another word, each of these things, well, it got worse and worse and worse. Now we have the President of the United States, after having disclosed secret information to the Russians, our greatest enemy, and fighting back against people who want to sanction the Russian government, at the same time as he takes his attorney general, the first person to be loyal to him, and conservatives love Jeff Sessions, right? I mean, he's racist, openly racist. He hates immigrants. He hates gay people. He is the if you are not just a Republican, but a hateful Republican, not one of those, you know, people who cares about getting your taxes cut, but you hate blacks and you hate gays and you hate immigrants and you hate women, you could get no better attorney general than Jeff Sessions. And now Donald Trump is attacking him, not because of those things. Donald Trump supports all those things. He's attacking Jeff Sessions because Jeff Sessions didn't promise to him that he would be above the law. Let's be clear here. I have no sympathy for Jeff Sessions. Donald Trump wanted to fire Jeff Sessions tomorrow. You know, I guess that's good. I mean, I didn't have much sympathy for Jim Comey either. I think Jeff Sessions is a lot worse than Jim Comey. But, you know, Jim Comey unfairly treated Hillary. But that's not why Donald Trump wants to fire Jeff Sessions, or he wants to mistreat him enough until he quits. Donald Trump says that he is mad at Jeff Sessions because Jeff Sessions recused himself from an investigation into Donald Trump's criminal treasonous behavior. And he thinks he's above the law and he should be able to choose his investigator. Wouldn't it be cool if all criminals could just choose their investigator? Don't know how many crimes would be prosecuted then. But the Republican Party accepts these things one after another, and it's not just Donald Trump. It's not just Donald Trump. Remember when Republicans were complaining about the process 8 years ago? The process that gave us the Affordable Care Act? In those days, it was called Romney Care because it was a Heritage Foundation conservative proposal. It was an idea to make health insurance cheaper. Wasn't as good as the public option, or certainly not as good as Medicare for All. Mitt Romney had done it in Massachusetts. And they complained that Democrats, in only 14 months, in only a little over a year, had hearing after hearing, debate after debate, had opened it up to all kinds of Republican amendments and allowed the Republicans to participate and put in plans. But they used budget reconciliation to get only 50 votes for part of the measure. And Republicans complained. I remember this 8 years ago. It was on the air at the time. Process! Process! But now Republicans have no committee hearings. None. Not a single one. Not a single hearing on the bill. No committee amendments. No committee process. They just voted yesterday to allow the bill to proceed without knowing what they're voting on. Wow. John McCain, dying of brain cancer, came back to the Senate, voted for allowing the motion to proceed. But then gave a very powerful 15-minute speech. If you haven't seen it, it's worth watching. On why we need bipartisanship and why a party shouldn't go it alone. John McCain, for all his occasional faults, is that frog who jumped out of the pot. But the vast majority of Republicans are staying there. Remember, this is the party. I want you to think about this. This is the party that got angry at Democrats for giving Robert Bork a full hearing. Remember who Robert Bork is now? Robert Bork was the Solicitor General of the United States under Richard Nixon, who, when Richard Nixon tried to fire the special prosecutor looking into Watergate, and his attorney general refused to do it and resigned, and his deputy attorney general refused to do it and resigned, Robert Bork went in and did the dirty deed, trying to help Richard Nixon be above the law. And when Ronald Reagan appointed Bork to be a Supreme Court justice, the Democrats gave him a long, detailed hearing on his point of views and rejected him as a nominee. And Republicans went crazy. How dare they? How dare the Senate advise and consent, which is allowed under the United States Constitution, and give someone a full hearing and after due process reject them as being too extreme and lawless? And because Democrats used the Constitution to legally get rid of Robert Bork, Republicans decided, after Justice Scalia died — Justice Scalia, I know, is an oxymoron, but we'll move on — that when Barack Obama appointed Merrick Garland, they weren't going to obey the Constitution anymore. If Democrats use the Constitution to get an advantage, Republicans will burn and shred the Constitution to get a further advantage. They're not going to advise and consent. They're not even going to give the guy a hearing. They're just going to wait until there's a Republican president. Thus setting the precedent, which is now an American legal precedent, that you can never, ever, ever fill a Supreme Court seat unless the Senate and the president are of the same party. That's not in the Constitution. But that's the precedent they've set. And they're so satisfied, they're so smug in getting Gorsuch on the bench, even though, again, they violated the Constitution to do it. No justice in American history nominated ever in all of American history, 200-odd years, has ever been denied a hearing, has ever gone the year or so that the seat was empty. But the Republicans are a slow-cooked frog. And a few have jumped out of the pot, but a bunch of them are saying, look, yeah, Donald Trump's erratic. And yeah, he does follow Vladimir Putin's orders, and he may well be in league with him. We don't really know. We don't want to investigate because we don't want to know. And we don't want to know his financial dealings with enemies of the United States, because we might find out that, in fact, it was a quid pro quo, and we don't want to know this. Please, close our ears, close our minds, close our eyes. But what we do want is power. And we will do anything to get power. Now, I have no doubt that there were Republicans, elected officials, who ran for office for the same reason I ran for office, because they wanted to make America a better place and because they had certain principles they wanted to enact. But when did this party become a party that put power for principle? Why is John McCain the only frog jumping out of the pot? And even he voted to proceed on health care. I don't think he'll proceed with whatever they end up with. But this is broader than Donald Trump, my friends. When we come back, I want to talk about a cult and how it works. Why the Republican Party is not just slow-cooked frogs, but a slow-cooked frog cult. If you want to call in, it's 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. We'll be right back right after this.
He's a Bible-quoting, Constitution-loving, flag-waving, red-blooded, liberal America. He's Mark Levin. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275.
Back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. There's too much to talk about. There's too much going on. So much so, actually, that I'm going to be doing tomorrow's show as well. place of Leslie. I'm happy to be here. So tune in tomorrow, same time, 3 o'clock Eastern time, 2 Central, 1 Mountain, and noon Pacific. And we're gonna be talking more. I started to name today's show Outrage Fatigue, and I didn't think that quite cut it, because I don't know, outrage fatigue is just sounds like a term. Whereas there's something about that slow cooked frog that gets it got imagery, right? But there is too much to talk about. There is outrage fatigue. There's too much going on. Imagine if Hillary Clinton had won the election. Well, you know, I'm sure Barack Obama's economy would be going on smoothly, and she'd be providing us with, you know, paid family medical leave, and the Democrats, you know, maybe would have won Congress, and but the Republicans would be looking for something. Maybe she had an errant email where she once called someone a name. Though even that doesn't seem much like Hillary. Much more would be someone who worked for her campaign once called someone a name. That's what they got mad with, some of the Bernie supporters. And the outrage machine would be there. Because that would be seen as equivalent to the kinds of things Donald Trump is doing. Donald Trump, we now know, didn't write an acceptance speech for his election. He expected to lose. In fact, they wrote it the night of the election. And he was all prepared to lose. Remember why he ran in the first place. He ran to promote his businesses. And he was ready to lose. That's why he was calling the whole process rigged. Remember that? He doesn't use those words so much anymore, interestingly. He said, the whole election process is rigged. If I lose, it's because they cheated. If I win, it's because I deserve to win. In fact, if I win, they cheated because I only won the electoral vote and I didn't win the popular vote. So, oh, a bunch of illegal aliens must have voted. But he was prepared to lose. And imagine that Hillary did one-tenth of the kinds of things that Trump is doing now. Trump is openly obstructing justice, just like he openly admitted he sexually assaulted women. Well, at least was on a tape. But now he's saying, look, I love Jeff Sessions. Jeff Sessions is this racist, homophobic, immigrant-hating guy that agrees with so much with my principles. But he's not protecting me from being investigated. He's not allowing me to break the law. I am President of the United States. I am above the law. Or as Richard Nixon once put it, if the President of the United States does it, it's not illegal. That's why he's mad at Jeff Sessions now. And I haven't even gotten to what I'm going to discuss in the second half of the hour, which is how the Republican Party became the party of hate. We'll be right back right after this. Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. It's almost hard to imagine where we were 20 years ago. The President of the United States, Bill Clinton, was being investigated by a special prosecutor. Special prosecutor was ostensibly chosen because of Whitewater, an Arkansas land deal where the Clintons lost money. And the prosecutor, Ken Starr, couldn't find anything that the Clintons had done wrong on Whitewater. So he went and decided to explore Bill Clinton's private life. Found out that he had cheated on his wife, asked him the questions under oath about it, and then, well, even though Bill Clinton carefully, legally avoided telling an exact lie, he did mislead because he didn't want his wife to find out. Again, if we took every member of Congress who committed adultery and kicked them out, I don't know how many it would be, but I suspect it would be over 100. And, of course, our president has done it repeatedly. But anyway, found out Bill Clinton cheated on his wife. Bill Clinton misled. And they proceeded to impeachment. How dare the president lie to his wife about who he's sleeping with? Now, the current president has repeatedly lied about his contacts with the Russians, about, well, virtually everything he's done. His son, his son-in-law, his campaign manager, his attorney general, five other people on his campaign, they're all having close ties with the Russians, all lying about it. Sessions, the attorney general, law enforcement officer, lying under oath about it. Oops. And this ain't about an extramarital affair. We all know Donald Trump slept around. It's about a quid pro quo with our greatest enemy. Is it just me, or does Donald Trump look like a desperate person looking to pay off his mafia boss? Right? You know what we're talking about. The guy, he borrows $100,000. He now owes $200,000. And the mafia is threatening to break his legs if he doesn't pay it off by tomorrow. And he gets really desperate. Is it just me, or do you think that Donald Trump is worried that he's not going to be able to pay off his boss, Vladimir Putin? I mean, he's tried, for example, to lift sanctions on Russia, but Congress is not letting him do that. The bill just passed, the Senate 98-2, passed the House 419-3. They might well overturn his veto. And what does Putin have on him? Is it a blackmail tape? Is it a whole bunch of cash? We don't know. But Donald Trump is desperate to prevent us from finding out. And when Bob Mueller was appointed, Robert Mueller, the former director of the FBI, a guy considered so respected, a Republican, but one considered so respected by both parties that he was appointed by George W. Bush. His term was extended by Barack Obama, the only FBI director to have his term extended to 12 years rather than 10. He was so above reproach. No one in Washington, no one dared criticize him. They didn't. Everyone understood him to be an honest man. And now that he's investigating Donald Trump's finances, well, Trump is scurrying around trying to find anything he can. What dirt do we have on Mueller? There's not much. But you got to remember, Donald Trump has been committing crimes for years. He gets away with it because he's rich. That is not an occasional thing he's done. This is his modus operandi. This is his regular course of business. Donald Trump became rich by making deals and then refusing to pay people. Think how much money you could make if every time you ordered a product, you never paid for it. Right? Order 50 grand pianos, takes the pianos, uses them in his hotel, refuses to pay the guy. Orders a hotel to be built. Hundreds of millions of dollars, refuses to pay. That's how he made his money, by being a con man of both the rich and the poor. We know Trump University was a dramatic con that successfully stole tens of thousands of dollars from hundreds of people each. And if you wonder why he feels so entitled as president to break the law, you should know that he's living off a prior entitlement, the rich man's entitlement to break the law. You see, a poor guy that goes into a 7-Eleven and steals a candy bar, particularly if he's black, might be shot by police or at the very least incarcerated for some time. But if you steal $1 billion and cheat on your taxes, well, you just hire lots of lawyers. Rich men don't have to follow the law. That's the life that Donald Trump's been living his entire life. That's why he thinks a president is even better than a rich man in terms of being above the law. And he doesn't understand why he can't pick his investigator. It seems so unfair. I should get to choose my cops. I should get to choose the person investigating me. Vladimir Putin gets to choose. He gets to say, no one investigates me. That's his choice. Poor Donald, having to live in a democracy for as long as we have it. But why is his party going along with it? The same party that condemned him and attacked him when he was running for the nomination. Now, they're either a few brave ones are speaking out, but most of them are sitting in that pot as the heat uncomfortably goes up. I think you also have to look at the way a cult works. I mean, I don't think the followers of Reverend Jim Jones in Guyana would have drank the Kool-Aid that murdered them on day one. I don't think so. No, they had to be roped in. Jim Jones kept telling them how great he was and how he was the best. Well, Donald Trump said he was the best president God ever created. Maybe not understanding how presidents are chosen in America. Not that different from Jim Jones. But it takes a leap of faith, right? You have to believe him. You have to give him all your money. Then you have to be willing to go all the way to Guyana from the United States and live there. And by the time you realize that you're about to be cooked, well, you can't get out. You're stuck. So the question is, when will the Republican Party escape this? And do they even want to? When will the Republican Party put their principles ahead of their power? Even John McCain, who gave a very impassioned speech yesterday, still voted to proceed with the bill that he fully admitted should never have been brought. A bill that we don't know what it will do, but they want to proceed with it anyway on health care. He did it as a warning, I guess. Let me get to some of your calls. 888-48-MARK, 888-48-6275. Let's go to Reggie, line one in Georgia. Hey, Reggie, how are you?
Happy hump day to you, Mark.
Happy hump day.
Well, I would just like to know why is an 80-year-old senator, who should have retired a long time ago, like us, such as John McCain would call you guys boisterous loudmouths of the media, who work in the media, and that their incapacity is your livelihood, you know, while he was giving a speech yesterday about the health care bill, which he voted yes or no on, and yet he himself is still sick from the surgery that he just came out of, that he's still recovering from.
Yeah, well, I think what McCain was doing was he was saying to his colleagues, look, I'll give you this one. You're violating all manner of regular order, all manner of the way things should be done, and I think you're going to fail. And he said, I think you're going to fail. I don't think this is the way to do things, and I'm not promising you my vote on the final bill because I don't think you're doing this right. But I'll give you this one to show you I'm still your friend. I'm still your Republican. I'll give it to you, Mitch McConnell. You needed my vote. It was crucial. Without it, it would have failed 50-49. You needed my vote to get to 50-50. And so I'll give it to you, but this is my warning. This is the last you're ever going to get from me. And we'll see if John McCain keeps his warning. I don't know whether he will or he won't, Reggie, but I think that's what he was trying to do.
Well, you don't think he's a two-faced hypocrite, do you?
We'll see. We'll see. John McCain, I would say, has the right instincts most of the time, but a lot of times he ends up compromising his instincts to help his party. When he ran for office, he was always bending to the loons, the crazy people in his party. And then he regrets it. Like, his heart doesn't want to do it. He even admitted that he shouldn't have defended the South Carolina Confederate flag, but he admitted it after he lost the election, not during the election. I don't know. The man's dying. Maybe he will actually do the right thing. I hope so. I hope so for America's sake, for John McCain's sake, for his legacy. I hope he does the right thing. We'll find out. I'm going to take a break. 888-48-MARK if you want to call in. 888-488-6275. We'll be right back. Right after.
Schooling the GOP, one hand tied behind his back, the Constitution in the other. It's Mark Levin. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275. Back to the Aggressive Progressive, Mark Levin.
Welcome back to Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levin. Too much to talk about today, which is why I'm going to be on air the exact same time tomorrow. Check it out. Exact same time, wherever time zone you're in, 3 to 4 Eastern time, noon to 1 Pacific, 1 to 2 Mountain, 2 to 3 Central time. I will try to, well, I don't know what we'll get to today, but I do want to talk at least tomorrow, if we don't finish today, about the president's Boy Scout speech, about his hate speech in Youngstown, Ohio yesterday with some really horrific stuff, and about the fact that today he kicked transgendered people out of the military. The first time in American history we've ever gone backwards. In fact, it was 69 years ago today that President Truman ended segregation of the armed forces. And, well, in 2017, Donald Trump has brought back discrimination, first time ever. Lots to talk about. Before I get there, I do want to get some of your calls. John from Los Angeles has been hanging on for a while. John, on line three, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Hi, Mark. Hey, you know, on the corruption comparison, I know Donald Trump, he came into office as an extremely rich man. He continued to be a really rich guy with some suspicions on how he got his money. But Bill and Hillary were so flat broke in 2000, and she had hundreds of millions of dollars, and neither one of them has had a job outside of government in 25 years. I think there's more room for corruption or suspicion
wait.
In that scenario.
Okay, so you want to investigate someone who's never running for office again and let the president have a fair pass?
How did they get so much money so fast?
Well, it's actually easy. You could just look at their tax returns. And it's not hundreds of millions of dollars. They got paid for speeches.
How much did they have? I mean, hundreds of millions of dollars.
I don't think it's hundreds of millions of dollars. It might be tens of millions. But let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Do you think that Donald Trump should be investigated to see whether or not he or his team colluded with Russia to hack into, commit espionage into?
Oh, I think all of them should be investigated.
Okay.
I think everybody who is connected to the election who accepted money from the Russians, and that has to include Bill and Hillary Clinton.
But it doesn't.
Because they both accepted money from the Russians.
No, they didn't.
They did for the Clinton Foundation and Bill.
No, wait. Okay. So first you said they accepted money from the Russians. Okay.
They did.
No, they didn't.
First speeches,
hold on. So here's the deal, all right?
Yeah.
The Clintons are not the same thing as the Clinton Foundation. All right.
Okay.
The Clinton Foundation is a charity that has saved millions of lives around the globe. And do you know how much Bill and Hillary Clinton – answer this question for me. I don't know if you know the answer. How much money have Bill and Hillary Clinton taken from the Clinton Foundation and put in their own pockets?
I don't think anybody knows the answer to that.
Oh, I do. I know the answer right now. You want to know the – I know it to the penny. You want to know the amount?
How much was spent?
No, hold on. Do you know the amount? Because you don't know. I'll be happy to share it with you. It's been disclosed publicly. It is, and I'm getting it to the penny here. I'm getting it to the penny. It is exactly $0.00.
How much expenses?
I'm sorry?
How much expenses were incurred through the foundation for, say, travel and expenses that they – and are you talking about everybody in the family, including Chelsea? Did she receive no money at all? I don't
believe Chelsea received money either from the foundation. I know that she was on its board.
Here's the thing.
For some reason, it's okay for Donald Trump and his family members to require people to stay in Donald Trump hotels in order to conduct official business and to actually get his Secret Service charging American taxpayers tens of millions of dollars for his Secret Service to stay in his hotels. But because the Clintons have a foundation that has cured all over the globe millions of people, they can't have their expenses paid for it. You know what? You know who also gets their expenses paid for? This is going to be really scandalous now. The United Way gets its expenses paid for. You know who also gets expenses paid for? No, wait. Hold your horses here. The American Lung Association.
Yeah.
When their chairman goes on a plane, I don't think the Russians did give to the Clinton Foundation, but it wouldn't matter if they did.
But how would we know?
How do we know? Because it hasn't happened. Here's the thing. Do you have any evidence it has happened?
Well, with this uranium deal where she signed over.
No. Now you're raising something else. See, you have no evidence that it has happened. You can say that Hillary Clinton had a child sex ring in a non-existent basement of a DC pizza parlor, but just because doesn't make it true. You have been lied to, John. You have been lied to. If a crime has been committed, it has to be investigated.
Money to speak in Russia?
They didn't speak in Russia. They didn't get to like money speak in Russia.
Bill Clinton never gave a speech in Russia?
I don't believe Bill Clinton has ever paid to give a speech in Russia, no. Do you know of one? When was it? What was the date? What was the date? John, when did it happen? What year?
I don't know.
You don't know? You're making it up. Don't you see the problem when you make up stuff about people?
You're going to be on tomorrow. I'll call back with
research. All right. You tell me when Bill Clinton was paid to give a speech in Russia. You let me know.
Yeah, I got $560,000.
Oh, a specific amount. Yeah? What was the year? Where did he speak?
I will do the research because
please
I
do.
Write. I only
please do. But here's the thing. Here's the thing that really bothers me. You're willing to go on a radio station and make these allegations, okay?
Yes.
And with zero to back it up. Nothing to back it up. All I'm saying is
just calling Donald Trump a monster. that he was in hock to Vladimir Putin.
I think he is in hock to Vladimir Putin. Let me ask you this. Why is it that he is so concerned about Mueller looking into all his financial records with Russia? Why do you think Paul Manafort refused to obey a subpoena about the financial records?
Let me ask you this, Mark. What crime is Mueller investigating?
He's investigating a lot of things. Here's what I think he's investigating.
What crime is he investigating?
I think he's investigating conspiracy to commit espionage along with after-the-fact accessory. I'm answering your question. Can I answer your question?
Okay, sure.
Okay. I think he's investigating conspiracy to commit espionage, including accessory after the fact, because you can receive stolen property. Wait, you're not going to let me finish? Asked me a question. Hold on, because you can't listen to me while you're talking, right? It doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
So I think he is investigating. I'll repeat myself again, because I don't think you heard me the first two times.
I did.
Conspiracy to commit espionage, including receiving stolen property after the fact. Accessory after the fact is a crime. I think he's absolutely investigating obstruction of justice. Let me remind you, that was the first article of impeachment against Richard Nixon. I think he's definitely investigating financial crimes, including possible blackmail. I think Donald Trump may well be being blackmailed. I think he's probably investigating lying under oath, which would include not just Sessions, but Manafort. And, Jared has lied three times under oath.
So what you're saying is he's not being charged with a single crime.
Uranium? Right? What?
So what you're saying is he's not been charged. There's not a single charge that he's been charged with.
Well, he hasn't been charged with any crime yet. That's not how investigations work. First you have to build your case.
When there's no crime.
Okay, so what you're saying is if somebody shoots a gun and is caught with a smoking gun and a dead person there, if you don't charge him with a crime, if you're not going to let me talk, then I'm just, there's no point in us having a conversation, right? What you're saying, I think, is that anytime you believe a crime has been committed, you must charge within seconds or you must let the person go. But that's not the way criminal investigations work. See, first you have to build a case. We have to build something called probable cause. You have to put all your evidence together before we charge people. That's called due process. It's in our Constitution. You can't charge people until you've built a case. But I don't think you're saying that the police should never investigate anything unless they already have charging documents. Because you know how they get those charging documents? You have to investigate first. And once you find a crime, then you accuse it. For example, Hillary Clinton was never charged with a crime. They investigated. They found nothing. And that's why they didn't charge her with a crime. If they don't find that Donald Trump has committed a crime, then there should be no charges, period. But you shouldn't be able to shut down an investigation just because you think you're guilty. And let me suggest to you, if the president didn't know he was guilty, he wouldn't be working so hard to fire the people investigating him. This is Mark Levin. I'll be back tomorrow. I want to talk about the party of hate. We're going to save that for tomorrow. Tune in to the Inside Scoop.